In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The church for us today reads for us the passage that our Lord said in Luke chapter 6. And in it he establishes a command or a law of order for humanity that is extremely important and that we all probably know and understand, but maybe we don't understand to the fullest or don't see it maybe as important as it should be. And this is the law of sowing and reaping, the laws of sowing and reaping. He says, "For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And I think across all of the cultures in the world, this type of belief system or this type of law exists. For example, you know, in India, the Hindus, they have the belief in karma, right? Which is basically how you live in the world is how you'll be reincarnate in the next life. You know, if you live good here and do good deeds, then you'll be something better in the future. So based on what we sow, we will reap the rewards for such. And I think that this principle, it applies to every aspect of our life, not just, you know, our spiritual life or not just the life that we have with the people in the church, but in every aspect of our life. What we sow is what we reap. I'd like to speak about six laws of sowing and reaping between this week and next week, God willing. Then we'll see how we can apply these principles or these laws into our life. The first law that we have to understand about the laws of sowing and reaping is that we reap only what has been sown. We reap only what has been sown. What does this mean? That means if a farmer came and he planted wheat, he's not going to get oranges. Okay? We can reap only from the seeds of the kind of seeds that have been planted. So we reap only what has been sown. And when you look at all of our lives are filled with choices that we have to make. And based on these choices is how we sow. So sometimes we make a decision or we make a choice, which is what we sow. And then the repercussions of this choice is what we will reap. So I think every day or every choice that we make is of significance because it will have a result. It will have, I guess, we will reap the results of our choices. And because the decisions in our lives are so important, whether they're small or great, sometimes we feel like the small choices aren't important or aren't significant, but they are because they could have long-term implications. For example, letting our children sit in front of the iPad or putting them in front of the TV. This may not seem like a big deal now, but maybe when they get into middle school and high school, you might see that this was maybe a poor decision, that maybe at the time I thought it was simple and trivial, but now I see the dangers of it. So all of the choices that we make are of significance because we will reap what we sow. And I think this is why we all need wisdom when we make our choices. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So he wants us to walk, you know, circumspectly. For those of us who don't know what circumspectly means, it means like, you know, not willing to take risks. What did you say? Tadqiq, I guess, in Arabic. But it means like I'm not willing to take risks, and I know I'm straight. I'm going straight. All right. So he tells us to walk with this, maybe like evaluate the choices and decisions that we make because we will reap again what we sow. And if you look at our life is basically comes from the antecedent of life. What does this mean? It means that what we live now comes from life that was given before. For example, we live now because we eat. And the food that we eat was alive at one time, and we took of that food that was alive and we ate of it, so we eat. So we are alive based on the lives of things and people that were before us. None of us would be here had we not had a mother and father that had one day gotten married and decided to have children. So we all are products of the labor of sowing and reaping of those who were before us. And oftentimes that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. Let's look at the positive side first. Maybe we are where we are today because of the blessings of what God has done for us. We are able today to live and experience the sunshine, which is important for us to get vitamin D. And, you know, and this is important for the biochemistry in our bodies. So all of us are here today and are healthy because of the sun that God has shown upon us, whether the righteous or the unrighteous. This is what we call common grace, that this is the gifts that God has given to all mankind without distinction, whether the wicked or the righteous. And it says, and he says in the book of Matthew, for he makes his sun shine on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. The same thing for the rain. If it didn't rain, there would be drought, there would be no crop, and there would be no cattle. So there would be a famine. But God sends rain to the earth for the sake of all humanity, whether we're righteous or we're wicked. Also, we are here today because of the blessings that we have received from others. They have reaped, they have sown, and we have reaped the fruit of their labor. For example, again, many of us are here today in this country because our parents, or maybe we ourselves, have left, you know, Egypt or whatever country we came from to come here. And in the beginning, the life was very tough. We'd have to work 2 or 3 and 4 jobs at minimum wage just to make ends meet. And then we, maybe the first or the second generation or first generation that came here, we see, okay, the final product. But we don't see how our parents worked 2 jobs through the night or whatever. So we are here today, maybe in this land, because of the fruit or the labors of those who preceded us. Not only in America, but just as Christians, as Orthodox Christians for that matter. We are Orthodox Christians because of the blood that was shed for the sake of this faith. No other church in history has shed so much blood for the sake of Christ than the Orthodox churches, whether it be the Coptic Church or the Russian Church. Thousands and millions of people have died because of the faith that we hold today. And sometimes we don't cherish it. We take it as being something that is, you know, for granted. You know, this is no big deal. We're here in America. We don't see this persecution before us here. But maybe had we lived in other countries, in third world countries, and we'd see the discrimination against, you know, the Christians in terms of physical persecution, we might think differently. We're persecuted here, just maybe not physically yet. So we are here today because of the seeds that our forefathers or our parents have sown, and we reap the benefits of them. This doesn't always have to be positive. This can also be negative, unfortunately. Sometimes we also reap the wrongs of others, both that were before us and those who are around us. Before us is they. How so? The people that were before us. Our children. Maybe, or my parents. Maybe my parents didn't, you know, bring me to church regularly, didn't read the Bible with me, didn't teach me this valuable faith that we hold. So as the child grows up, he thinks that this faith is something optional and a choice and just one belief system among many. So when the kid grows and gets to high school and college and goes off to college and hears all the crazy ideas in the universities and then says to you, you know, I'm atheist, I'm not going to come to church anymore. This was what? This was the seeds that I wasn't sowing for my child when he was a kid. So when he grew up, he left the faith in his far. So sometimes we reap the negative, you know, fruit or the harvest of our parents, unfortunately. maybe also we reap the reward, the negative reward of our father Adam and Eve. They sinned and they corrupted all of mankind. So all of us inherited this corruption or this nature of corruption from Adam and Eve from the beginning. And there's nothing we can do about it. Until of course Christ came. So we bore this harvest, you know, not by our own choice, but because those who preceded us. And what about for those who are around us? Those who are around us, we are bearing the consequences and the harvest of maybe a corrupt society and corrupt leaders. Of course, we know the rulings of the Supreme Court this past couple of weeks, and it's hailed across all of society. If I don't do my part as a parent and as a Sunday school teacher and as a member in this church to educate our youth on the appropriate understanding of marriage and the sanctity of marriage, we will pay the price of this later. So we are now bearing the yoke of corrupt society. Not that this society is more corrupt than previous ones, because we know of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of these things, but this is a different kind of corruption that is maybe foreign to us now in these times. But this certainly, there were certainly things that were of this magnitude and greater and many other, societies before us. But this is the one that we have to deal with now. And if we're not diligent to teach our children and put with them the seeds of holiness and godliness and fearing the Lord, we will reap the benefits or the penalty of this later. So the question, do we realize the far-reaching implications of all of our choices in the lives of others around us? Do we realize that the choices that I make today, whether they're trivial or whether they're major decisions, affect not only my life, but the lives of those around me? Even if it's not your direct family, if somebody, for example, comes to you and wants to cheat off you in an exam, whether it's in grade school or in college, and you say no, maybe this person would be, upset with you then, but to remember the character, your character later. So later in life, he might come to appreciate, this person was a true friend. He, held fast to the beliefs that he believed, whether I pressured him or not. So maybe might reap fruits in this person's heart later. So being a good model, or being a good Christian now, will reap fruits later, and maybe in the lives of others. So the first law is that we can only reap what has been sown. The kind of fruit that has been sown is what we will reap, whether it's by our parents, by us, or our forefathers. But whatever it is that we sow is what we're going to reap. We can't sow laziness regarding spiritual life and expect to be saints. Sometimes we think that God is merciful and he will, forgive me. Yes, but if we're not diligent, if we don't sow these seeds, we can't expect to be saints or to be glorified and whatever. So we have to sow so that way we can expect the appropriate fruit. The second law is that we reap the same kind as we sow. We reap the same kind as we sow. Like I said before, you reap wheat, you're going to get wheat. You're not going to get, oranges or whatever. And this is a law that, for the most part, we have no control of, but it's just a fact of life. It's a fact of life. There are examples in the Bible, and I'm sure all of us have examples in our own life. When I cheated somebody, guess what? Somebody turned around and cheated me. When I stole something from somebody, you know what? Somebody turned around and stole something from me. If you look at the person of Jacob, right? Jacob was, of the holy family, right? Of the patriarch, son of Isaac, the person who was chosen to be the next in line. But unfortunately, his mother wanted to deceive his father so that he can get the blessing. And he agreed to this. And he took the skin of the sheep, put it on his hand to, deceive his father, and his father gave him the blessing. This was deception. This was sin. Maybe God didn't, penalize him at the moment, but this will come back to haunt him, because what he sowed, he will reap. Then we remember when he went to Laban, his uncle, and wanted his daughter to marry her, right? He wanted Rachel, and he said to him, okay, if you work for me 7 years and tend my sheep, I will give you Rachel. So he comes, he says, no problem, I love her, she's the apple of my eye, I'll do anything for her. So certainly, he works 7 years, and then there comes the time for the wedding, all the festivities and everything. He drinks a little bit, you know, maybe too much. And then back then, you know, the woman would come veiled until, you know, the ceremony was completed, and then they, you know, raised the veil. So they came, did the ceremony, raised the veil, and barabu barabing, what happened? Leah, right? He was deceived, coming back to haunt him. What he sowed, he will reap. And not only that, later also in life, not only after this incident, he then deceived Laban again with the sheep, right? He started keeping the healthy sheep for himself and gave him the weak ones, so he deceived him back. And then what happened after that? Once he became old, had 12 children, his favorite young son, Joseph, right? Sent him after his brothers. His brothers saw him, oh look, he's wearing the colorful robe. Let's kill him. So they took his robe, dipped it in the blood of a lamb, and threw him in a well, and said to his father that he is dead. So they deceived him, and he wept bitterly the rest of his life until he found out that Joseph was alive because of this deception. So this law goes with no regard to person, race, faith, or anything. What you sow, you will reap. Christ mimicked the same thing. He said, he who takes up the sword shall what? Shall perish by the sword. Same principle. We look at the life of David, right? Who is the man after God's own heart, made a mistake. He broke all 5 commandments on the second tablet in one ada, one sitting. But the most prominent ones is he murdered and he committed adultery. So what happens? Yes, he repented immediately when he was approached. He repented and said, I have sinned before God. But this doesn't mean the penalty has been removed. So what happens after that? The son of this union was killed. His life was taken from him. So murder for a life. Life for life, right? What about the adultery? If you remember David's son, Absalom, right? He got big, and then he's like, okay, now I want to take over my father's kingdom. He's getting a little old, so I'm going to take over my father's kingdom. So what does he do? First thing he does, he goes out in front of the city and sits there and tells the people, you know what, come to me and I will judge for you. And he does that. And the people said, oh great, he's a great judge and everything. He's wise and handsome and everything. So we'll follow him. But to prove that he had, you know, defeated his father, what does he do? He took the concubines of his father, which kind of like his wives in a sense. He took them and he slept with all of them. To any man, you know, this is the utmost of insults and offenses. Because his primary responsibility is to protect his wife and his children. When somebody can come in and violate his wife like this, this is the utmost offense. And if this isn't, you know, if this happens, it's the biggest shame for a man. So this is what he did to his father. Is this adultery or is this not? It is. What he sowed, he reaped. The same kind. There are many examples, like Haman. Remember in the story of Esther, he hung up the gallows for for Mordecai and Esther, and then he's the one that ended up being hung on it. The same kind that we sow, the same that we reap. And that's why it gives value to the golden rule, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. And the conclusion of the other part of that is because what you sow, you will reap. This was law number 2. We reap the same kind that we sow. The third law, and we'll finish here after this one today. The third law of sowing and reaping is we reap in a different season than we sow. The farmer, when he goes to sow, he plants the seeds and he has to wait, right? He doesn't plant the seeds and then, you know, the same day or the next day, they have the fruit. No, you plant the seeds now and maybe in the springtime or whatever in February, March, April, and then you don't get fruit until the summer, so several months later. This goes along the same thing in our life. I read once somewhere, somebody was commenting on believers that come to church. He was saying that many believers come to church that have sown wild oats during the week, and then they come to church hoping that they have a failed crop. What does this mean? That we live the whole week with, you know, sowing wild oats, doing things that aren't fit for Christians, going to places and shisha and bars and all of these things. We do this during the week, and then we come to church to pray to God and lift up to Him and say, please God, don't let me reap what I have sown this week. But this doesn't work. This doesn't work. What we sow is what we reap. So oftentimes, I think the hardest thing for us to realize is this time lapse. We sow now, and what we reap, we'll reap later in another season. It never comes immediately. In Psalm 145, and also in the Divine Liturgy, we hear this often. It says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, God, and you give them their food in due season. So God gives the food in due season. So you'll find sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray for things, and we don't get it immediately, but we get it maybe years later. As in the example of Hannah, again, who wanted a child for many years, and then finally, after many years, God gave her. The same with Sarah, Abraham's wife, right? She was well advanced in age. The same with Elizabeth, right? Who was praying from their youth to have a child, and not until maybe like 60 or something years later is when this was fulfilled. But He gives to us our food in due season. His timing is impeccable. I think many of us, I've heard from many of you, how you pray and you pray and you pray, and then God often waits until the last moment to give you what you need. This is the stamp of God. He wants us to learn this patience, to learn this law, that the seeds we sow will come later, in maybe another season. The labors that we take today, the inconveniences in my life that I have to experience for the sake of my children, to teach them the faith, to sit and read the Bible with them every day and not browse the internet and read the news and all of these things that maybe I would like to do, the sacrifices that I make now for the sake of my children will not bear fruits tomorrow, but will bear fruits 10, 15 years down the line. So the seeds that we sow today, we will not reap them until another season, until later. And I think, without question, we understand that we reap what we sow. But I think oftentimes this is the most difficult point or principle to understand, that we reap in a different season. And I think this is primarily because we don't see immediate results. We are in a society that likes things immediately. I want to eat, I go through the drive-thru. I go to fast food. I want to heat up some food, I put it in the microwave, and it's heated immediately, right? I want to search something, you know, a definition, I put it into Google, and I get something immediately. We're used to getting things immediately. So then when God says, I'm going to give you your food in due season, we tell Him, no, the season is now. Why do you think I'm praying for it? No. But His timing is not our timing. To every season, to every time there is a season. That's why the Apostle James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So He tells us we have to be patient. We have to be patient. In our requests from God, in our requests from others, sometimes we request from others and we say, okay, my husband has this particular bad attitude or this behavior. My wife has this particular behavior. And you come to Abuna and you ask him, what can I do? And he says, okay, try this, this, and this. So we go and come back next week, Abuna, I tried what you did and it didn't work. And I had, if it didn't work, you gave it a week. Give it a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Be patient. The seed you sow today will certainly yield the fruit later. But we have to sow the right seeds. God willing, next week we'll speak about the other three laws, and then we'll speak about the how we can practically apply these to our life. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.